The Real Life with Joe and Jill.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 4 of The Real Life with Joe and Jill. I am Joe.
And I'm Jill.
Did you have to think about that?
No.
Tell the truth. Did you have to think about which one you were of the two of us?
Well, I just didn't know what we were doing.
Okay. Well, hey, everyone. I'm so glad. We are both really glad that you are continuing to listen into this podcast.
Are we recording a podcast?
We are recording a podcast. Oh, okay. We are internet famous now.
Oh.
We have over 3 listeners.
Oh, sweet.
I know.
Over 3.
And as of this week, I think we might have 4.
Oh. Well, there
so,
you go.
Basically, we're celebrities.
It feels like we're celebrities.
I think we are already. So, if you have been listening in, you know the basic standard format of our podcast, but we're going to talk a little bit about our week. Admittedly, it was kind of a slow week for us.
It was. There really wasn't near as much stuff to talk about.
But we do have a few things, and then we will actually do our very first follow-up to our spiritual topic last week. About how to help the poor and the needy, and then we'll move into something brand new that is on our hearts to talk about for this week. So before we do all that, let's talk about our week. So as I promised, if you were following on Facebook, we special ordered waffle. Jill is laughing because this is probably the most ludicrous thing we've ever done.
Yeah, because it was expensive, and he was like, just order them.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, it wasn't that expensive.
Tens of thousands.
Okay, so we ordered the waffles and syrup Oreos. What did you think of those?
Okay, well, before we even say what I thought of them, these Oreos apparently are only available at Albertson grocery stores.
And its sister stores.
And the sister Albertson grocery store
which
stores.
Which is like Jewel. What's that? Jewel
store? I have no idea.
There's a bunch of them. Safeway is one of them. So it's some, but we don't have any of those grocery stores here.
Yeah, it was very, very odd. And so we were like, do we do this thing where we actually go on Amazon and order a package of Oreos at like 3 times the market value of Oreos? Now, I want to tell you this. Any other point in the history of mankind, especially regarding Joe Papkin, to pay more than the market value for anything is instinctively against my very nature. That being said, it's a limited edition Oreo flavor. I'm going to have to try it. So we bought these Oreos, and there was concern they might be all crunched and stuff when they got to us. They were not.
And they were not packed very well.
They were
they
not.
They were just shoved in a box. So it was like a miracle.
It was a miracle. Okay. The moment you've been waiting for. What did I think of the waffle and syrup Oreos? They were good. They're not my favorite Oreo, but they were good. You could actually kind of taste the, I don't want to say the butter, like of a waffle, like a butter waffle kind of feel. I don't know as much about syrup.
Did you taste that? I tasted.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't really get the waffle flavor. Maybe I needed to close my eyes, but the whole thing. I like to take them apart. I feel like I get a better taste that way, but maybe I need the full effect.
That's fair. If you are looking at this on the internet, you know it is a vanilla or golden Oreo on the outside and then kind of that white cream on the inside. So
with the syrup center.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I was going to rate this on a scale of like 1 to 10, I mean, I'd say it's a 7 or 8. It's not a bad Oreo.
Yeah, definitely 8.
It's not my favorite again, but it's not a bad Oreo. Now, speaking of.
We also
tried the Jelly Donut Oreo, which is available at Walmart, and only specifically Walmart for some reason.
That's the only place you can get it.
Yeah. It's only available at Walmart. I don't know what Oreo's doing. It's like we want to do all these limited flavors, but you have to actually go track them down. It's not convenient at all. So we went to Walmart and we got the Jelly Donut Oreos. And if you've had the blueberry pie flavored Oreos, which are floating around, they've been out for a while.
Yeah, they brought them back this summer actually.
Yeah. And they're actually pretty good. Again, not my favorite Oreo, but they're pretty good. The Jelly Donut Oreo is literally the exact same thing as the blueberry pie Oreo.
It's definitely not your typical jelly donut flavor because it's blueberry, and I don't think of jelly donuts as being blueberry.
No. Actually, let's do a poll. If you've ever had a jelly donut that tasted like blueberry filling or was filled with blueberry as opposed to like strawberry, the traditional and correct way to fill a jelly donut, go ahead and write us at joeandjill.org. There's
slash
actually
contact.
Slash contact. There's a contact section. We would love to hear if you actually have had a donut that actually was filled with like a blueberry thing. So maybe our taste buds are just not used to this because we have eaten the correct version of a jelly donut all our lives, which is again filled with like normal jelly, like a strawberry or whatever it's in. Is that the flavor of jelly? It's like strawberry.
But it's red.
Red. That's right? The correct color. It's just red. Red.
I think
they're gelatinous
pink or red or pink. Anyway,
I don't know.
A full 5 minutes on Oreo, so we could probably move on.
Okay. So just so you know, recap: waffle syrup Oreo. Decent. Jelly donut Oreo, meh. Don't waste your money.
It wasn't bad.
It was all right. But
I would give it a 6 or 7.
Look,
it was not bad.
If you're interested in it, get the blueberry pie Oreo. It's got much more blueberry flavor, and it's the exact same thing. So there you go.
They're
okay.
Both good.
All right.
Okay, so the other thing that we've been doing is Joe is very, very determined to find a Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so we have decided, I think, that it would be nice to have the new Nintendo system, the Nintendo Switch. I've been looking at them and kind of going back and forth, and I'm a person that does lots of research, and finally, after a good chunk of time, it was like, well, this might be good. You know, let's go ahead and do this thing. And I'd have to look it up, but I think the Nintendo Switch has been out since, I want to say March. Could be wrong on that, but I think it's been out since March. This thing is impossible to find, at least in St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, it's been impossible to find since we've been looking for it.
That's true.
Because we actually found them prior to it.
I saw them once in...
But there was like 3 or 4 of them. It was a good chunk of them.
That's true. I should have... several weeks ago before I had finally decided, yeah, this is what we want to do and get one of these. I saw them at like a Target and was like, oh, look at that. There they are. And now when we're like, okay, we've decided, let's go get one. You can't get them anywhere.
You've gone to 4 or 5 Targets, Walmart...
Best Buys.
2 Best Buys, I think. So we've gone to...
GameStop.
It's not like we've just gone to a couple places. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
But we will find one.
I'm actually sad that I did not actually invest money in Nintendo for stock, because this thing is... It's not even Christmas. I mean, we're here in June, and it's primed to be like the hot Christmas toy at the rate it's still going. Like, it's unbelievable that you can't find it months after the thing came out. So if you live in an area where the Nintendo Switch is readily available, please let me know at joeandjill.org/contact. I'm going to pump that joeandjill.org/contact.
Yeah, we really would like to hear from you.
Absolutely would. So that was another happening of our week, the hunt for the Nintendo Switch. And then if that hunt continues, I will update you on this podcast about that hunt. Also this week, we went out with my mom and my mom's husband, Ken, to Maggiano's. And for those that don't live close to a Maggiano's, it is a chain, but it is a fantastic Italian chain.
It's quite delicious.
Yeah, it's I would call it upscale Italian. Maybe that's not fair, but it definitely, you know what it is? It's just like Buca di Beppo's, for those that have that. Jill's looking at me like I have no idea what that is. It's another restaurant that serves like a family-style kind of meal, but everything is made from scratch each day. It's a scratch kitchen. So really, really good food. But we went out for my birthday, late birthday celebration with my mom and that. And so it was really great. They had a fabulous special, which we didn't get, which was 100,000 ounces of steak. And that's an exaggeration. I think it was 40 ounces.
What?
It was 40 ounces, like a pound of potatoes. Something absolutely outrageous. I mean, I don't know who was supposed to eat this, but we did not order that special. So. Hmm.
Well, there you go.
So there we go. Other happenings of our week. I spoke at church today. And you were there. And so hopefully it was a good impacting message. I got to speak this morning on what to do when your dreams are bigger than you are. I think too many times we have these God-sized dreams and there's these obstacles that come up in our path, whether it is trusting in God with our timing or looking at the dream and trying to make it palatable, and we give in to those feelings. And so that's what I really felt like was important to speak on today at church. So that message actually should shortly be up on our church website. And our church website has changed names, so I'll have to figure out what the actual...
We'll get that in the show notes for you. So yeah. Take a look at the show notes if you want to check that out. It's not up yet. I think we've had a little delay in our messages being posted.
Yeah, I think it normally takes a day or so. But we'll get that in the show notes.
Awesome. Well, and then also we like to give you an update on our son, baby Finn. Today was his first out of the womb Father's Day to celebrate with his dad. And he is still teething.
Yep.
We still have no signs of teeth.
Nope.
But we are very cranky when it comes to laying down and sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's nighttime or nap time. Mm. So we've spent a lot of time rocking him, which is very uncharacteristic of us.
Yeah.
We typically just put him down. He fusses a little bit, goes to sleep. Not been like that lately.
Nope.
We put him down. He screams his head off for 40 minutes. Oh. And I'm like, it's not that he doesn't know what to do. He's been going to bed on his own for almost 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun for that little backtrack. But we'll get back on schedule. It's just, I would like to see those teeth pop through so I can know that this is over for now. I say for now because I know there's many more teeth to come. But anyway, so we're eking through that. He's actually in good spirits for the most part.
He
it's
is.
Just when you try and put him down, he just loses his little mind. So.
Oh, yeah. And you parents that have been parents for, you know, several years or have multiple children, you know that after, you know, I mean, the first child, they cry and you hear the cry and it kind of stabs you in the heart because you want to go do something. And that's your instinctive parent response. Now, after 45 minutes of that cry, it changes from how can I help you to dear Lord Jesus, please make him stop. I've never prayed such a fervent prayer in my whole life as like, please, dear God, make him stop crying. He's a precious kid, and 99% of the time, he is in such good spirits and such a happy kid. And people will stop us, and they're like, oh, my gosh, what a precious child you have. And we're like, we know. But when he is cranky, he just, he loses his little baby mind, and there's nothing you can do. And so it just, it grates on you internally. So,
yeah. And then also we've had his pool blown up for a couple of weeks, and I just this week put water in it and let him swim a little bit. So you can check out our Instagram page. I'm going to post a picture of him swimming in his pool. And you also can go to our Instagram page to see the video of us reviewing the jelly donut Oreo. I was going to say blueberry pie. I'm like, no, that's not what it was. See,
it
that's
would
how
be the same.
That's how much it was. But anyway, if you want to see our reactions, our real reactions. Unfortunately, we didn't get one of the waffles and syrup one, but we did get one of the jelly donut one. So check out our Instagram page, which is Joe and Jill or Jill and Joe. I think it's Joe and Jill.
If we get Joe and Jill. 5 reviews of this podcast this week, we will do a video review of the waffle and syrup Oreos.
Oh.
So that's my challenge to you who are listening to this. Get enough people to equate 5 reviews of this podcast on the iTunes or podcast store. Same thing.
Yeah, so on iTunes, there should be a place to review the podcast.
There is. So before we jump into the topic we were going to kind of discuss this week, we actually had sort of an impromptu listener question that had written in and asked about the homeless and in their area, the homeless situation. And it totally dawned on us that something that we do, we didn't even mention in the podcast, but we had someone in the church come up with a fabulous idea for a portable, easy to deliver way to really show love and bless people. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so they basically took gallon-sized Ziploc bags and filled them with things like tuna and peanut butter and snack crackers and I'm trying to think of other things. Basically things that don't need to be kept at a certain temperature but are ready to eat, things that have protein, And then in the winter, especially, we're putting socks and gloves and hats and stuff in there too. So it's just a very practical little kit, essentially, that you can put in your car and have ready to give. So I felt like whenever we had those packets, I was ready. It was like I was prepared ahead of time, and I was almost looking for people. Like, okay, let's get off this highway. Is there someone standing here? Oh, yay, there's someone here. I have something practically to give them. So it's just a really, really practical thing, like especially even if you're thinking, I don't know if I want to give money. I don't know what I want to do. It keeps you from that waffling back and forth while you're in your car, and you don't have very much time usually. It just it gives you something practical to give them. So that's just an idea that – some of our friends had, so feel free to steal that one. But it's just all about being intentional and preparing ahead of time, so you're not like that last minute, what do I do?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a really, like Joel said, a practical, easy idea, and it's something that you can always be ready then to deliver out. It's instant love is really all it is to people who really need it. And in the experience that we've had with it, almost every person we've given it to was really excited to receive it. You know, it's not like anyone looked at it and goes, oh, this is not really what I wanted. Every single person has been just grateful that you would be thinking consciously about them and their needs, and that you would, you know, kind of have this thing together like that. It's been really successful. So we highly recommend it. If you have the time, please go ahead and consider doing that. It will cost you, what, a few bucks maybe. And again, it's not like these things go bad. So you don't have to worry about, what if I don't see anyone for a few weeks? Well, that's fine. You just keep it.
Don't put granola bars with chocolate in them. True. I had some of those, so that wasn't very practical in the hot sun. So yes.
Well, it's a learning process.
Yeah, it is. Well, and actually, if you have any ideas of things that people can do like that, kind of like a hack to helping the homeless, please send that in. Is that funny? I'm sorry. I was just thinking other people might have good ideas, and we'd love to share them with listeners just to help give practical ways that we can be helping those in need around us.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Let us know at joeandjill.org/contact. I'm going to plug that about four more times.
We'll give it to you again at the end. So if you didn't get that, be listening to
what am
end.
I going to give them at the end? joeandjill.org/contact?
Yes, please send us your comments and questions.
Was it like a British accent you just did, no. Justin? Okay, seemed like it. Well, all right.
We'll play it back in five.
We'll see. All right, so this week, kind of tying back into the topic from last week, you know, last week we talked about how to help and bless the poor and the needy, and how do we respond to them. We're going to branch off of that a little bit and just talk about generosity. Generosity is something that I believe is essential in the life of every believer, and is something that we should be growing in day by day.
Absolutely.
And I think that in, I'm going to say, the Western world, something that happens a lot is because society is so pushy about us being individual and us being about us, very inward focused, that sometimes our generosity doesn't get to grow in the biblical sense that it should. We don't focus on other people, we focus on ourselves. So the only person we end up being generous to is us. I buy the things I want for me, but I don't I don't always think about others. So Jill, if I can ask you kind of an open-ended question, what does generosity look like to you?
I mean, I think that generosity starts with us and our families. I think that is the heart of a parent, to show generosity to their kids. So I think that first and foremost, it's definitely our parents teach it to us, but as we get older and understand our relationship with God, it shows the heart of the Father to give to his kids. And I think the best way, I was telling you the story earlier, that one of the best things I can think of to illustrate that point is that I actually moved back in with my parents when I was 22. I had lived on my own from 18 until 22. So I moved back in with my parents. And for a year, I just lived with them, didn't pay any rent, came around to going into the second year, and they asked that I start paying rent, which was actually difficult for me because I was really struggling finding a job, and I didn't have a car, and just lots of craziness. So I actually started paying rent, and it felt like a lot of money, but it really wasn't a lot of money, all things considered. But I paid rent for a year and then ended up moving out. But about 6 months after I moved out, my parents, I'd really forgotten about it, and my parents decided to, well, actually, my mom told me, we never intended to keep the money that you paid for rent for that year. And here's a check, and we're giving it back to you. And I was floored because I totally had given them that money thinking I'm paying them rent. Like,
sure.
I owe them this money because I'm living with them. And it was really helpful for me, too, because it helped me, it helped give me the push to move out.
Yeah.
So I didn't just stay with them forever. So I just tell you that story because I think that's the heart of God. It's never his heart to take. It's only in his heart to give. And I think the more we become secure in our relationship with him in that way, and know that he's never taking from us, he's always giving, mm-hmm. we will in turn reflect that character to other people.
Yeah.
We will have generous hearts that are always looking for opportunities to give.
I think that's good. I think that generosity, and I think you said this, is so much God's nature that there's this kind of biblical principle that we become what we behold. Sure. The more that I view God, the more I become like God, because when I take him in and just absorb who he is, I am transformed by him. And hopefully then I am transformed in my generosity too, that I'm becoming more like he is, and he is just generous by nature and virtue. And so if I am free to give, and I'm free with the resources that I have been given, then I become more like him. And in it's such an area that we battle because I don't know if we think that our possessions will not return, you know, with blessing to us, like, you know, the money that I have, if I give it away, that I somehow won't be blessed in return, which is a biblical principle in and of itself, the law of sowing and reaping. If you give generously, you will be given to generously.
Sure.
I'm not trying to say, you know, that if you if you give away $5 that you're going to get a sports car, but
you might.
Well, it's true, but you might.
That's not. I mean, that's
it's not the goal.
Heart. No, it's not the goal.
No, and I think actually, our heart motive attached to generosity is what is kind of almost the equation. You know, if my heart is truly desiring for no other reason, just to love like the way the Lord loves, and I give out of that heart motive, that's the time, that's the moment where my faith engages what my heart is wanting to do, and it takes the gift or whatever you're giving, that generosity, and really makes it something impacting to the other person, or makes it impacting and changes it from just a an ordinary kind of thing into the extraordinary. It's like when you receive something that you really needed, not just wanted, but something you just really had your heart set on. Isn't it amazing how that gift just totally blows you away? And it's those moments where I think the Lord uses our faith combined with our desire to be more like him and be generous to open up the hearts of other people, to really move in their life to produce something that gives him glory and gives him honor. So I wonder how we display generosity. It's a cool biblical thought. It's not just something that the world came up with. Obviously, like we just said, generosity is something in the heart of God. So how do we display generosity? How do you practically be generous to others? You personally, not just, you know, overall, but you as Joe Papkin, how do you show generosity to those around you?
I look for opportunities, and I won't say all the time, because obviously I think it's human nature to kind of be consumed with what is going on in your own life. But it is definitely my heart and my goal, especially as the Holy Spirit reminds me, to look for those opportunities. And what are those opportunities? I mean, they look different every day. Today we saw some police officers that we had the opportunity to pay for their meal. And at work, I take a few extra minutes to ask about somebody's day. When I'm at a grocery store or any store, I will take the time to stop and ask a cashier, how's it going? How's your day been? And try and make conversation about them and how their day has been. So I think it's taking time. For sure, that's a big one. And definitely practically giving money, giving things that are needed. If someone needs help with something, or someone's in the hospital, or, you know, like there's so many ways that you can show love through generosity. And it's not asking for anything in return. I do think that we reap from those moments of generosity. But I think when you have God's heart for people and loving people and giving, I don't think that you're giving thinking, all right, after I give this 5 minutes to this person, God's going to return to me 17-fold in cookies. I don't know.
Delicious cookies from heaven.
I don't know. I think maybe, too, that it gets returned to you sometimes in the same currency. So if you spend time investing in someone else, then you just watch for it. Watch for someone else taking the time to ask about you. Or if you paid for someone's meal, watch for someone paying for your meal. And I think that's another point right there, is just be expecting to see return on it.
And
again, it's not like I gave $5, so now I get a Corvette. Like, that's, it's not the motive, but I think you were talking to me about just that expectation of, well, I'm God's kid, so this is just how it is. You want to expound on that?
Yeah, I think generosity is an expectation of sonship. If I, as a son, am in the natural, so if I go to my parents and I needed something, or I just blessed them, there is sort of this expectation that I will be blessed by them. And if that's the case, if we have natural parents who love to bless us as children, then our, and that's a good thing, our Heavenly Father is the same way. Our Heavenly Father loves to bless us. He is a blesser. I mean, he is the author of blessing. So I think I expect it as a son, not like I've earned it or something, because I haven't, but I still expect it. And I think God has worked that into me over the course of my life. Now, I'm not really talking about tithing in this episode, but there was a season of my life where I was teaching a class, and there was a segment of the class that was all about tithing. And there was a point that I was trying to make about you can't outgive God. You know, if you give to the Lord and with abundance, he's going to return in more than what you were able to give to him. And again, this is in the framing of the tithe. And so I was kind of praying through how I would deliver that, and I remember the Lord really challenging me in my heart, and he said, "You don't really believe that." And I was kind of taken aback because I really, you know, I was like, well, yeah, no, I mean, I believe that, you know, I can't outgive you. And he was like, no, you think that you're more generous than I am in this, that you're more faithful in that. And I didn't know what to say. And so the Lord in that season was like, I want you to give a quarter of your income. That's what I'm asking you in this season. You give a quarter of your income and see if I'm not faithful to who I say I am. And that's nerve-wracking because you're like, a quarter of my income, like that's a good chunk of money, especially when you're not making a lot of money. Like that's a lot of money. And there would be moments in that season of life where, and I wish I wouldn't have just kind of thrown them away, but I remember one moment specifically. I went to the bank, and I've always been semi-decent with my money. So I went to the bank to deposit a paycheck, and I deposited the check, and I knew exactly how much money was in my account. And so they give me the bank balance, and I'm kind of like, ugh, this is going to be rough, you know, because I had bills that just came out. And I look at the statement, and I'm like, wait a second, that number is higher. It shouldn't be that high. And I'm looking at this statement in just kind of total disbelief. And the lady behind the counter is almost like, what's wrong? And I'm like, this doesn't seem right. Like, I don't think I have this much money. And she looks at my account and she goes, no, that's what you have. It was more money than I had. I went back to my bank balance. I redid all my numbers. It for sure was more than what I had. And there would be seasons of life like that where God would just bless me above and beyond just because of sonship, because you can't outgive God. Now, again, that was the concept of tithing, but even not in that, not regarding tithing, you still can't outgive God because generosity is something that when we give, we're really giving, no matter what who we're giving to, we're giving to the Lord. Jesus says, you know, all these things, when you do these things, you've done them to me. To the least of these, you've done it to me. So if you give, if you're generous, you're really doing it to the Lord. So it's not surprising then that when he blesses us and when he returns it extravagantly, we can't outgive him. Mm-hmm. Because I have finite resources. I only have so much. No matter what your income level is, you only have so much. If you gave all of it away, if you made $100,000 a year, you could give $100,000 in a year, maybe if you had nothing saved. That's how much you can give. But the Lord has more than enough. Not just more than enough. He has more than enough. I love the scripture where God kind of makes that plain and says, like, the gold is mine. The silver is mine. It's all mine. Don't think for a second that it's really yours. It's not yours. It's all mine. I own, you know, the cattle on like 1,000 hills. It's all mine to do what I want with. So we can't out-bless him. We can try, but you'll never succeed in that. So I think sonship means that I give generously, knowing that the Lord loves to bless us back just for imitating his good nature. Mm-hmm. And I think too, when we recognize generosity in regards to sonship, we also are looking for opportunities. And that's what I actually really appreciate about you, is that I think you're always looking for opportunities to be generous. I can't tell you how many times, you know, you have either taken the time out of your day. I mean, today we were at Target and we're checking out in the line, and you had spoken to this lady there at the checkout counter before, and you're asking about her daughter, and you're pulling out these facts. And in this case, the generosity was just the time and an investment in her to ask about her kid. And now as a parent, you know, if someone wants to ask me how Finn is doing and remembers just amazing details about Finn's life over probably a conversation or so, that would floor me and that would bless me. And I think that really was impacting to her. And you're looking for those opportunities to bless people. And I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think
that's definitely our encouragement to you. Yes. 'Cause it's not hard. I think if we can just take it a little slower and honestly, the Holy Spirit is such a good reminder. He is so good at reminding us of things that we want to remember to do.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in the day in and day out, we can be really busy and be busy with our own issues and just forget to look at people around us. So that would be my encouragement to you, is just say, Holy Spirit, please help me open my eyes, remind me to look for those opportunities, because he's putting them before you. And he will be faithful to show you those opportunities that are before you. So that would be definitely my encouragement in that. And the other practical thing that we were thinking of whenever we were talking about generosity was, make room in your budget. However you do your budget, which we don't do it traditionally, but if you do like line item by line item, add a line in there that says giving, and put however much in there for the month. And that way, when you have the opportunity, like to pay for somebody's meal, or somebody needs gas money, or if you want to give money to the homeless, like whatever it is. So when those things come up where you could give money, you have the money already set aside. And it's not even a question of, do we have this money? No, it's already set aside for that. And then sometimes God may have you give on top of that too. But
yeah,
that way you are, again, like the bags in your car, you're being intentional and preparing for those moments. And that's expectation of what God's going to do, which is super awesome.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think that about covers generosity. If you have questions on generosity, if you have thoughts or comments about anything we've discussed, this will be my 17th plug for this. We would love to hear from you. So if you go to our website, joeandjill.org, our contact page is there. Direct link to that is joeandjill.org/contact. You can write in and we will receive those questions, comments, whatever you have. We would love to hear anything that you would like to say about this topic, or if you have things to add, we'd love to hear from that too.
Yeah, and definitely check out the show notes for things we've talked about today if you have anything that you have questions about or want to remember what we've talked about. Feel free to check that out. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be really awesome. You said how many need to leave a review on iTunes to get that?
We need 5 people to leave a review, 5 stars, on iTunes. I mean, you can do as many stars as you want, 5 stars, and we would receive any of those reviews, 5 stars, that you do. There is one we would prefer 5 stars, and I'll let you figure out on your own 5 stars what that number would be of stars that you should give 5 stars. So,
and then also follow us on Instagram @_JoeandJill. We would love to hear from you. We're so glad that you listened today, and yeah,
we will see you next week unless you 5 stars give us reviews.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.